Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, your host. We've got a great show lined up, so let's get started. And this is Ashlyn Dave, and this is the 133rd edition of the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave. I'm coming at you from Ashland, Virginia, center of the universe, affectionately known as that's what our town is affectionately known as. Ashland is in central Virginia, kind of nestled in between Fredericksburg and Richmond. And if you don't know where Fredericksburg is, it's pretty much between Richmond and D.C., closer to Richmond. We're part of the Richmond metro area. Got a pretty decent show lined up for this week. If you're new to the podcast, I do kind of a semi-monthly podcast. I try to get it out about every 10 days. Sometimes it stretches out a little bit just because of being busy. I have gotten back to doing some training. Mainly I'm training for the Patrick Henry Half Marathon, which is on August 28th here, starting and finishing Ashland. They've moved the finish line, start-finish line, which will be a lot easier for people to, I think, to park and to get to the finish or get to the starting line on time. I don't know if they're going to be blowing the cannon or not in the town. They started with a big revolutionary era looking cannon. Anyway, so I was on vacation week before last down at the Outer Banks, which I'll talk about a little bit more here in a minute, and got some good solid 3 milers in. I'm kind of just building back up again after taking some significant time off altogether after doing the 50-miler in the Florida Keys. My body just needed to recover and to heal up and not to have any residual issues going into training for the half marathon late summer. I'm also going to do the Annapolis 10-miler the next day. So I've actually got 2 double-digit races in 1 weekend. I'll be running with a friend of mine up in Annapolis whose name is Lummox, and he'll be doing his first 10-miler. As a matter of fact, I need to check in with him, see how his training's going. And pretty much the fall is open. I don't have a fall marathon planned. Main reason being is it's too hot for me to train through the summer. I'm not interested in necessarily training through the summer. I don't mind running in an event in the heat, but as for actually, you know, consistently training in the heat, for some reason that just doesn't interest me that much. So for this show, we're going to talk a little bit about my the Camelback resolution. I have resolved my issue with them, much to my advantage, and talk about that. Everything seems to have worked out really good for that. I've got a new bladder for my Camelback backpack container thing. And I'll talk about the Graveyard 100, which is going to be a new ultra marathon in the Florida Outer Banks. The North Carolina, Outer Banks of North Carolina, as well as another 50K that's being held down there. And what I was doing, I was holding out to see if a different length would be offered in that event, and it was, and so I'll mention that. And I'll be hitting on the email bag because that actually is providing some of the content for the show for this week. And then we'll talk a little bit about a book that I got. It's called Relentless Forward Progress. It's by Byron Powell. It's a guide to running ultra marathons. I got it on Amazon. It's a used copy, so I got it for, I think, around $10. And it's got some pretty good information on there. And I'm going to mention one little section that it's not even a full chapter. It's just a section that's called Fear of Missing Out. And he calls that FOMO. And I'll talk about how that kind of applied to me a little bit while I've taken a little bit of a hiatus from doing heavy training. All right, so let's get into the podcast here. And I want to talk about Camelback a little bit. Now, you can go back to episode 132 if you want to hear the whole story about, and that episode is called Dear Camelback. And I probably am, you know, making a little bit bigger deal than this, than I should. But, you know, since it is part of, it is a major problem I had with something that cost me, you know, $45, and I wanted to make sure anyway, what happened was I bought a defective Camelback. The bladder leaked from the top and the bottom. You know, I even before sending it back, I tested it and, you know, made sure it wasn't something I was doing, made sure I had everything hooked up right. And the reason I couldn't take it back to the retailer is because when I bought it, I asked, you know, what was the refund policy? And they said, well, if we won't take it back once it's used. So I couldn't take it back to them. So I sent the bladder to Camelback per their website. They sent it back to me because it wasn't dry enough. No letter or anything. It was just kind of an insult. And then, so anyway, I now got two bladders from them for the Mini Mule. And I've only tested one, and it worked fine. I used it the other day, which is all I wanted to begin with. But I'm still trying to figure out how I got two. And I think it's because I started a letter writing campaign to their physical address, you know, with the regular U.S. mail. And then I also had an email campaign that I did get a response from somebody else. And I'm wondering if it was two separate receivers that received my correspondence and then sent me out, because they didn't come in the same package. They came in separate packages. So that was really weird. But I am pleased with the product. I do like it. And I liked it from the beginning when I bought it. I just wanted it to work. And the reason I knew it was going to work is because for the race that I did back in May when I used it, because I had this part of the course was a 7-mile bridge and there wasn't going to be any aid on it. And, you know, it's like 100 degrees outside, so I needed water. I had actually taken a bladder from an Ultimate Direction product I had and put it in there and used that, and that worked just fine. But the bladder was a little big. So the bladder for the Mini Mule is a 50-ounce, and I had a 96-ounce one in there that I had to just fold over the top. And a little bit too much explanation on that. But I am very pleased with the outcome. Thank you, Camelback, for rectifying that. And I wish I had the name of somebody I could thank, but it was kind of a whole impersonal transaction. But I do have two bladders now, one still in the package, and one is back in the Camelback itself. And just I was actually at the same retailer that I bought it at today to get some. I was buying some darts. I got a dartboard in my garage, and I went back to see, and I'll probably reference this again and later in the show, because I got an email from somebody, I can't remember at the top of my head. I guess it's the, where did I get it from? Anyway, asking me if the Mini Mule was actually for mountain biking. Anyway, I'll get to that in a minute. I think that was, might be, I'll get to that. My handwriting is so bad I can't even read it. But they do have replacement bladders there, and I think they're like $25. So it's just kind of, I wasn't going to go spend another, you know, for something that should have worked from the beginning. So anyway, that's all done, and that's enough said on that. I know I did get a comment on the website from Snuggy Bear, who's part of Team Incognito, and I'll just mention that now. Like I mentioned at the beginning, some of the emails are going to be part of the show content for this week. He was very interested in the Camelback Resolution because he's going to be doing a Grand Canyon run May of next year, so he's starting to look for an advanced hydration system. John, I would definitely recommend it. There's different sizes. However, there's different products too. So it kind of depends what kind of stuff you want to carry with the Camelback, meaning what kind of pouches and pockets that you want. I don't find that thing jumps around or anything. Matter of fact, it actually works better when it has more water in it. I do like the Camelback nozzle. It worked. It seemed to work a little bit better than the Ultimate Direction one, but I believe some of those are interchangeable. The situation with Camelback, if you go on their website, there's so many different types. You know, there's one now that almost looks like it kind of wraps around your waist. You know, they're experimenting with different designs, and I'm sure they got people out testing them out. I'd like to be able to do that, but I doubt that they'll even send me anything now after all the noise I made. But I would recommend the product, you know. My problem with them got fixed. It was a little bit of a hassle. I had to keep mailing stuff back. So, you know, by the time I mailed everything out there twice, probably set me back another $8. Not a real big deal. I was without it for a while. I did want to use it when I was down at the beach, because it was so hot and it was just it would have been easier to run with the Camelback. But I do recommend it. So, you know, check them out. And if you're going to buy one at the store, you know, definitely try it on. I would recommend buying it at the store as opposed to buying it online, because you're just not sure how it's going to feel if you look at it in a picture on the computer screen. So anyway, John, appreciate you commenting on the website, and you can find those at ashlanddave.podbean.com if you're interested in looking at the comments or leaving any comment. All right, let's talk about the Graveyard 100. Something kind of interesting happened week before last. I had been in touch with Brandon Wilson, who was the race director for the Graveyard 100, and I had emailed him our question and asking him. The Graveyard 100 is going to be on the Outer Banks of North Carolina, which just happens to be my favorite vacation place. It's about 3 hours from where I live. I just love going down there. It's a barrier island on the eastern shore of North Carolina, and it pretty much stretches from Virginia all the way down the length of the state. And it's just a real nice area. I like going down there. And if you're familiar with it, then you know that there's lots of different little pockets of areas down there. Well, you know, they have a marathon down there. They have a couple half marathons. They've got triathlons. But they didn't have any ultra marathons. And so I just put in OB. And the nickname for the Outer Banks is OBX. It's kind of an abbreviation. And I think I put in, like, Googled Ultra OBX or something like that, and actually found a new race that's going to be in May of next year. It's going to be the OBX Ultra Marathon, which you can find that at obxmarathon.com. I'll put a link to that in the notes at ashlanddave.podbean.com. In case you go on my site, you can click right to it. And that's going to be on May 5th of 2012, and a guy named Zach Kiefer is doing that race. So I was looking at that, and that's a 50K. And as I was looking at it, I realized that the majority of the race is actually on the beach itself. So it's on the sand. I think the first part is on asphalt, but the majority of the mileage is on the beach. And believe it or not, I don't really care to run on the beach. I like being at the beach. I like running at the beach, but as for running along the actual water line, you know, on the beach itself, you know, on the sand, that's just not something I particularly care for. So I was kind of disappointed to see that this race was on the beach. Now, my friend Tom, who listens to the show, he immediately, that's his gig. I mean, he likes running on the sand. He's got a place on a resort island, and I know he does a lot of running on the beach. So he's already signed up for that. He's going to run that. So I was a little disappointed, and as I continued to search, and it was billing itself as the first Outer Banks Ultra Marathon. I found another race called the Graveyard 100, and the Graveyard is making reference to the Graveyard of the Atlantic, which is, you know, shipwrecks and whatnot. You know, people didn't see this barrier island, I guess, in colonial times when they're trying to come over here. And so I found but this is a 100-miler, and this stretches from, and this is all along the beach road. So this is a road ultra that stretches from Corolla Lighthouse and goes all the way down to, I think, Hatteras, pretty much where the ferry goes to Ocracoke Island. And it's 102 or 103 miles over some bridges, and it's supposed to be very difficult. And the site for that is racethegraveyard.com, and I'll also put that I'll put that in the show notes on my site, ashlanddave.podbean.com. Race director for that is a guy named Brandon Wilson. Well, I emailed him, and it was billed as just 100-mile. And if you go on the website, he's very clear about his philosophy is for ultras, and he wanted this to be a difficult event, and they're just gonna do the 100-miler. Well, I emailed him and asked him if there had been any consideration to throw in a 50-miler, just because that's what I was interested in. It never hurts to ask the race director questions. A good race director is gonna email you back promptly with some type of response. Because every person that emails a race director is a prospective money. They're a prospective racer, and to get people in your event, you know, racers, they give you money. So and I've been a race director, so I know it is to the race director's best interest to respond back, even if it's not the news that the person wants. But at least you get a prompt response, you know, if you're going to advertise your email on the website. Well, he emailed me back right away and said they were actually considering those options, although it wasn't originally in the plan, but there was some consideration, some possible reconsideration. And he encouraged me to keep checking the website periodically to see if anything had changed. Well, it just so happened the other day that I checked it, and he has added 100K. So he's keeping the name the Graveyard 100, but, you know, that obviously can refer to 100K and obviously the 100-miler. Well, the 100K is within striking distance for me. I've done 250-milers. I've done several ultras now, and, you know, that's 62 to 63 miles. I don't know exactly what it is. I think it's 62. You know, that's another couple hours past the 12-hour mark, and, you know, that could be another challenge. So I'm interested in that at this point. I got excited about the change, and probably the coolest thing out of this whole bit was when I emailed Brandon and told him that this other guy was billing his race as the first one. I said, he can. I said, yours is actually the first, because his is in the 100-miler, 100K is in March. He wasn't aware of the other one, and apparently vice versa, because there's no central listing for ultramarathons. There's no ultramarathonguide.com, which would be a great idea. I don't know. I should do something like that, you know, and pull in and list every single, you know. I guess I could do something like that, but I just don't have the time. But, you know, somebody could out there. Maybe there is a website like that. I haven't even checked. But it would be a great idea to pull all these in, kind of like marathonguide.com does. And, you know, marathonguide.com obviously doesn't have every single marathon, but it's pretty much a great place to at least get started. And it's pretty much got all the marathons out there. So they hooked up via email, and now they're there's no animosity or anything, and it's really cool. And matter of fact, Brandon's got part of, you know, they met by phone. He lists that on the website at racethegraveyard.com. And they're actually going to work together to promote and support each other's events. So to me, I think that's a great thing, and I like to think that maybe in some way I had a little bit of a part of that, because I did clue in Brandon that there was another race down there. He wasn't aware of it, and it's not. And I think the reason is because, you know, not everybody lives down there. I think one of these fellows might live out of state, and he's in the military, and I think he might be planning this race from out of state. I'm not certain. He didn't give me a whole lot of information. So anyway, two ultra marathons in the Outer Banks starting in 2012. And if nothing else, they would just grow from there. So I think that's great news. And I'm very excited. And I'm going to seriously consider the 100K once I get some clearances on the home front with various things, because that obviously requires some pretty intensive training throughout the winter and into the spring. And this past year, I think doing a May race was just a little bit too late because it got warm. I think I would do very well in March. I've run down in that area in March, and done the Shamrock Marathon and a half, and that's in March in that general area of the country. And it's pretty decent weather. This would be running into a headwind most likely along the beach, but or along the Ocean Drive. But I'm familiar with the area, and I just think it would be cool to do an ultra down there. So I'm definitely going to be interested in it, and if for some reason I can't participate, maybe I can be involved with it in some other method. All right, before I get any emails at ashlanddave@gmail.com from any ultra runners out there saying, oh, you can go to run100s.com or you can go to ultrarunning.com, you know, they got calendars there. I've been to all those sites, and there's no, you know, but I find races on different, you know, ultras are not on all the sites. And I know probably the ultra running community wants to keep it that way. But when it comes down to the computer stuff, you know, I'm all about consolidation and not keeping everything spread out. So that's why I mentioned how, you know, there's no one central clearinghouse, kind of like Marathon Guide is for marathons. At least I think it is. I think it's a pretty good comprehensive listing. Of course, there's always going to be that one that's not out there or a new one. But at least with the ultra marathons, there's no one real central clearinghouse, in my opinion, that has them all. Because there's a lot of small, obscure ones that don't, you know, that, for example, the 100 or the 50K, the Outer Banks Ultra Marathon in May of 2012 of next year, this is Zach's race, Zach Kiefer. I think he's only got 35 slots. So, you know, the race like of that size would probably not be on a major ultra running website. Who knows? You know, you never know. You can always submit them. Okay, so that's the good news about the Graveyard 100 that I was very pleased, and you know, perhaps things will all come together, and that's something I can try. I know I do. I want to do 100K at some point in time, because I pushed the 50 pretty good last year and finished, and or earlier this year and completed it. I was still upright. You know, it was hard, but I want something that's a little harder. And I like the idea of a road ultra a lot more than a trail ultra. But you know, running in a headwind's probably going to be difficult, which is what it would be down there along the ocean. All right, so that's good news on that. The Patrick Henry Half's coming up, like I said, August 28th, and then the next day I've got the Annapolis 10 miler. I think it's August 28th, if that works out right. And my good buddy Lummox, who lives up in the Annapolis area, is going to be running his first 10 miler. And the best thing about this race is the premium. You get some pretty good race swag from this thing and the post-race party. So I'll be enjoying that. And my buddy's got a boat, so that'll be part of the weekend. I'll run the half marathon, drive up there. We'll probably go out on the boat, you know, get to bed early, run the race, and then enjoy the rest of the day. And hopefully he'll finish. All right, let me talk a little bit about the book, Relentless Forward Progress. If you've got any interest in ultra marathons and you don't want to spend a whole lot of money, and the stuff you're reading on the internet is just not answering your questions, this is a good book to get. It's by Byron Powell. I mentioned him earlier, I think. He's got a website called irunfar.com. I'll put that in the show notes as well. And it's very possible, if you've ever looked at any information on ultra marathons on the internet, you might have actually come across this guy's website. It's pretty good. He actually left his job in D.C. in 2009. He was an attorney in Washington, D.C. He left that job to go full-time in spreading the word about trail running and ultra running. So he's pretty serious about it. He's been in the top 10 twice in Leadville 100 in 06 and 09, and he's twice won the under 30 age group at Western States, which was 2004 and 2005. So he's pretty accomplished. I think he's still a member of the Virginia Happy Trails Running Club. I'm not sure, because there's a picture of him in the book with their logo on his shirt. And the name of the book is Relentless Forward Progress, and there's a section in there. If you've got the book, I'll even tell you what page it's on. It's, I already lost it. Let's see. It's page 55. It's called Burnout and Fear of Missing Out. And the reason I wanted to talk about this a little bit for a few minutes is because it kind of hit home for me when I read that section. I got a little burned out after doing the Florida Keys ultra marathon, and I needed to. I was just hurting all over, just not injured, but just hurting. Just everything kind of hurt, and I knew that after I was done with that ultra, I was going to be taking some time off and. Altogether, as in no running whatsoever, and I think I did that for 3 weeks. Didn't even do any exercise at all, except for walking, and I'm riding my bike. I was riding my bike some more. Then I started doing push-ups pretty intensely. So I guess I was still exercising, but I wasn't doing any running at all. And I did that intentionally because I wanted my body just to heal. I wanted to recover, and I wanted to enjoy running. And don't get me wrong, I was still enjoying running, but I wanted. I wanted it to kind of have a purpose again, and so I wanted to find. I didn't want to start running again until I had some kind of event that I could train and plan to do and then execute and finish. And I kind of start, but I knew I needed to do some running just to kind of keep my weight around the same. And that's why I started dabbling in the 3 milers while I was on vacation, and I did several of those. And then I'm back to running 5 milers again right now. But the fear of missing out was something that I did experience, because I have 2 friends that live here locally that listen to the show, and Tom and Rodney, and they maintain their training. They were still doing their training, and because Tom is going to continue to run races throughout the summer, longer stuff, and Rodney's he's still been training with Tom. And I kind of felt, they were doing some stuff, and I, in some ways, I was kind of feel like I was missing out because I wasn't going along. And but what the chapter kind of warns you against is going along because you feel like you're going to miss out and then getting hurt in that process, and which makes absolutely no sense at all to me, is because you have complete control and your own efforts, and your friends aren't going to drop you just because you're not, you know, out there doing the long runs on Saturday mornings anymore. You still have the same friends. You just have to find other ways to engage in time with them and to share that common interest. Just because you're not out there doing ultra runs or training for a marathon doesn't mean that you're not a marathoner anymore. And so I intentionally stopped getting together with folks to let my body heal. But I did kind of feel like I was missing out a little bit. And one run in particular, and Tom tells me about everything, so I'm always invited. But they went down and did a 7-hour endurance run down at the James River. Well, Rodney didn't. He took a nap during the middle of it, apparently. But I just kind of wanted to go down there and not necessarily run for 7 hours, but just to kind of, because some of the people that were going to be doing that are some of the people in the community, the ultra running community in the Richmond area. And it would give me a chance to meet some of them that I haven't met before, or get to know some of them better, you know, that I've seen at some of these races. And so in a way, I was kind of missing out, but I just could not do it because my body needed the break. Because I've obviously, earlier in the podcast, you hear me talking about the Graveyard 100. I mean, that's something that excites me because it's close by. It's a 3-hour drive, and it's a road ultra. And so now I'm starting to think seriously again about, you know, getting the training going in the late fall and through the winter for an event like that, if I can get into it, which I think I would be able to. Registration doesn't open until August. It's probably not making a whole lot of sense, but just reading that one page about burning out and the fear of missing out has made me realize that I've got other things going in my life. And, you know, like, for example, I bought darts for my dartboard finally. I did put some other things together in my garage that I had not been doing because I was hurting all the time. So, you know, I was able to get some of these things done that I couldn't do because when I get back from my 8-miler on a Wednesday, I was too tired to do anything, you know, and stuff would sit by the wayside, and I started cutting grass in the little margins of my life because I knew I would be too tired on the weekends to cut grass. I feel like I got a lot of my Saturday mornings back, you know, sitting home with my wife listening to bluegrass on Saturday mornings and drinking coffee was something I hadn't done in quite some time. I think I was a little bit burned out, and I have felt that I'm missing out a little bit on what my ultra running buddies are doing here, lately. But we're still staying in touch, and that's a good thing. We've still been trying to get together so we can discuss our recent ultras, but we just haven't had the time. I know Tom's got a big fall. He's doing the Mountain Masochist, I think, in November. And he was going to try his first 100-miler in September at a race in I think it's called Pine Creek or something in Pennsylvania, but that got canceled, so that's not going to happen. All right, let's get to the email bag section of the show, which is always the eagerly awaited email bag. And I got some good emails. I heard from Tim, who's a new listener. I think he's out of North Carolina. Reason being, he's going to be directing an ultra marathon, his first ultra marathon down there. It's either a 50K or a 50-miler. Although in a later email, I think he said he's focusing more on the 50K. And he's going to do that in conjunction with a horse endurance race, which is pretty cool. And I guess the only thing I can think of is that's how the Western States 100 started, was that was a horse race at one point. It's in the foothills of North Carolina. He's looking for advice because I directed a 10K, which doesn't necessarily compare. I mean, that just has more participants. But he's looking to have between 50 and 100 runners. And Tim, I've already emailed you this, but yeah, start early. That would be my best advice. And second best advice would be to have a committee and delegate as much as you can, because you just can't get it all done yourself. It'll drive you crazy. And I guess you got to get permits and all that for where you're doing it. It's going to be in the Boone Recreational Area, which is south of Blowing Rock, North Carolina, which is on the Blue Ridge Parkway, if you don't know where that is, which is kind of in the, I had to look it up. It looks like it's in kind of the western part of the state. So that'd be cool, Tim. Keep me posted on that so I can mention the race on the podcast. I'm sure we've got listeners from that area. And Appreciate you giving the podcast a listen, and hopefully you come back and listen to more episodes. And keep me posted about the date of that race. I think you said that's going to be sometime next year. I heard from Dr. Smitty, and Dr. Smitty's got a big event planned. It's going to be a kind of a hometown no frills, which is what fat ass means anyway. Fat ass 40 miler, which will be on July 23rd. And he did clarify that all are invited. He lives in the Chesapeake area of Virginia, and he's going to be doing his run starting at 8 o'clock on Saturday, July 23rd, in a park that I can't, the name of it escapes me at the moment, but he said that the Chesapeake Expressway overlooks the park. I think that's what he said. So if you're interested, if you live in that area and you want to meet up, that'd be great. I would love to listen to meet new listeners, and I love meeting new people anyway, and I'm going to be down there for probably the second half of the day, encouraging him and running along with him some. I think it's a mile and a half loop that he's just going to be repeating. I think he's got it all worked out for how many times he needs to go around and where he's going to have his aid. He's hoping to be done by 4. So 8 o'clock start, hoping to be done by 4 p.m. most likely. But, it's going to be pretty darn hot in late July. I will find out where that is. It's, like I said, it's in the Chesapeake area, Virginia, which is Southeast Virginia, Hampton Roads, Tidewater, Norfolk, that general area. And if you want to head out for that, I'm sure he'd be glad to have you. And he's doing that to celebrate turning 40, which I don't know exactly when that is, but it must be pretty close to that date. So, Greg, we'll see you down there for that. Like I said, I'm committed, and I will drive down that morning, so I won't be able to see you at the start, but I'll definitely be there and help you out for the afternoon, and we'll see how all that works out. Again, email me at ashlanddave@gmail.com if for some reason you got a wild hair and want to meet up with us. Heard from Rich out of the Woodlands, Texas, and he's looking at the one of the original listeners of the podcast also. Thank you, Richard. He's looking at the Dallas Marathon in September of this year, and that's December. I think it's in December, isn't it? I'll be in Dallas in September for a friend's wedding that's getting remarried down there. I'm going to fly down. Don't know the exact date off the top of my head, but I think that the marathon down there is in Dallas because September is just too damn hot in Dallas still. Because I was down in Dallas last year in late August or September, and it was pretty hot. It's like having a hairdryer blowing it right in your face. But I did get to go see the grassy knoll. I'd always wanted to do that, and if you know anything about American history, pretty much all I have to say is Dallas and the grassy knoll, and I think you know what I'm talking about. Okay, I heard from Randy out of Georgia, and I got a real good email from Randy, and what he did is he actually clarified that Pine Mountain, Georgia, and Atlanta are not really the same area whatsoever. They're about an hour and a half apart, and because and the reason that came up was the North Face Endurance Challenge Atlanta race, the 50-mile, 50K marathon, and I think they did 10K also. They bill that as the Atlanta race, but it's at Pine Mountain, which I don't know why they. I think what they did, and they did the same thing with Washington, D.C. When I did the North Face Endurance Challenge, Washington, D.C. last year, it never went into Washington, D.C. It was in Virginia. It never crossed it was along the Potomac River, but there was no way you could get across because the river is really wide at that point. They just put it near a big city. But the interesting thing that Randy said in his email was that Pine Mountain is actually closer to Columbus, Georgia. But I can see now North Face Endurance Challenge, Columbus. I'm not so sure they would do that. I think that's why they picked Atlanta. But anyway, your point was good, Randy. I do appreciate you clarifying that. On another note, Randy completed his first half on April 9th in an incredible 2 hours, 28 minutes, which was not bad for having a hip injury. So well done, Randy. He likes the laid-back style of the podcast. So, Randy, appreciate you listening to the show, and hopefully you come back for more episodes. Always good to hear from listeners. And last but not least, I heard from Tim of BueloRuns.com blog. He hails out of Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is in the Tennessee Valley area. And he invited me out for when he does his first ultra, which is going to be the Stump Jump 50K on October 2nd in the Chattanooga area. And unfortunately, I don't know about my fall plans yet. I was not planning on doing a fall marathon But it was nevertheless, Tim, wow, I mean, thank you for the invitation. That was very nice of you. And Tim was stating that he might be starting a podcast after solving some technical issues. So check out his blog at abueloruns.com. That's ABUELORUNS.com. And I will link to that on my site at ashlanddave.podbean.com. And as always, you can always email me, you know, the podcaster, at ashlanddave@gmail.com. I like to hear from any and all listeners. If you feel like shooting out an email, let me know what you're up to. If you got any big events coming up or anything happened to you on I like funny stuff. You know, anything funny happened to you on a training run or at a race, or, you know, there's always something funny that happens. You know, somebody always drops their pants and, you know, goes to the bathroom in front of everybody. To me, I think that's funny. There's other funny stuff that happens that merit, you know, I like hearing stories about people puking, doing other funny things, falling, stuff like that. I love hearing stories about all that kind of stuff. So send those on to ashlanddave@gmail.com. I know I'm a little juvenile. ashlanddave@gmail.com. And if you don't want me to mention your email on the podcast, you have to state so. Otherwise, everything's pretty much fair game. Got a couple other events coming up that I wanted to mention before I close out the show for this week. This week I'm actually doing a 5K in the evening out at one of our local high schools, and I think my daughters and my wife are going to do that with me, as well as my father. That's the Patriots 5K to benefit efforts to fight epilepsy, as well as the Patrick Henry High School Patriots cross country team. And then starting on July 11th, it's the annual Richmond Roadrunners Club cul-de-sac series, which is a series of 5K races on consecutive Mondays starting on July 11th and then July 18th and July 25th. Due to work, I can't do the one on July 11th, but I'm going to attempt to do the ones on the 18th and 25th. And it's always a great time to run into people that you know and people you don't know. Generally, several Team Incognito members show up for those. And the best thing about it is on the last night, they have free pizza, which I guess your race entry. And it's cheap. I think it's $12 or $15, maybe not even that much. But if you do all three events, you get a special prize at the end. I obviously won't get that. One year, I did, and I got a cooler, like a bucket cooler, which was kind of cool. And I think it had the Richmond Roadrunners logo. I mean, it obviously wasn't that practical because I'm not using it now. But I think we used it once. But the best, it had a bottle opener attached to the side of it. I know I still got the bottle opener. And those are just 5K races through a neighborhood, and they go in and out of three cul-de-sacs. That's why it's called the cul-de-sacs. They put a cone in the middle of the cul-de-sac, so you run down and go around the cone. And there's lots of cool things about the cul-de-sac series. My favorite part is that you get to see everybody that's ahead of you because you're doing out and backs through three cul-de-sacs, and then you get to see the people that are behind you. And I always go out too fast. Always, and there's no way I'll ever break my 23:43 PR in the 5K anymore. Just too heavy. Okay, well, that's some of the upcoming stuff. Of course, I got the Patrick Henry half on August. I keep saying the 25th or the 28th. It's the week before Labor Day, and then of course the Annapolis 10 miler after that. That's a big race, and I'm really excited about that because I'm gonna be with my bud. Lummox, who is going to be doing his first double-digit run. He asked me how far he should train up to. I said he could probably just train up to 8 miles to do a 10-miler. He's worried about not making 2 hours, but I'm sure we'll get inside the 2 hours. I know I'm going to make sure we get inside 2 hours. I'm not going to have a 2 hours for a 10-mile training unless I'm at the tail end of an ultra or something. Or I'm not going to have 10 miles. I can't figure out what I'm trying to say, so I think I'm just going to end the podcast. All right, well, this is Ashland Dave, and I am running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. And as they said in the Casey Anthony trial, make sure you hug your kids. Y'all have a good week.